In what area of the legal field were the Berkman, was the Berkman firm?
They were doing a great deal of what we were doing, except that they added two dimensions which we had no contact with before. One, Alan Berkman had real experience in certain facets of labor law, in addition to being a recognized corporate lawyer. And Robert Engel, of course, was a city solicitor and had trial experience and trial expertise. We started that firm with 10 lawyers, and the concept at least had to be right, because now we have 38 lawyers, and I think we have 16 partners. But we timed it reasonably right, and today we have people who have experience in antitrust work and SEC work and then bond work, as well as a trial department. And it's been fun building something that we hope will continue to meet a need and reward us.
You still find the law?
Yes. Good. If I didn't like what I did, I couldn't get out of bed in the morning. I hate to get up in the morning, but once I'm up, I'm all right. But if I didn't thoroughly enjoy what I'm doing, it would be an entirely different matter.
Can we talk a little bit about your social life? Family vacations?
Well, I think we have to get to the fact that, though I told you, on balance, life is certainly worth living now. I did have the problem of the death of my first wife, who died of cancer in 1951. And then I was fortunate enough, in due course, to have another woman willing to take a chance, not only with me, but with three children. And we're just getting ready to celebrate our 25th anniversary. And though we've had lots of ups and downs, I think she would unqualifiedly join in with me to say that life is worth living.
Your present wife's name is?
Is Harriet Crown. Crown.
It's Crown.
She, her sister is Adeline Jubilier. And I alluded before the fact that the Oringers were a big family, but Bunny, which is my wife's nickname, comes from the Vatz family, which is one big family, Pittsburgh and Chicago and wherever you go.
The Vatzes were an old Pittsburgh family.
Yes. Bunny's parents lived in Pittsburgh for a large part of the time, but also my father-in-law's business, he was in the jewelry business in New Kensington, and they lived for many years in New Kensington.
Have you taken family vacations with your children, and anything like the way you took them with your parents, or?
I would say that as a family, I took less vacations with my children than I did with my own parents, but instead I preferred to take one, or I would take my daughter on a trip, or I'd take the two boys on a trip, for example, to Gettysburg, Niagara Falls, Washington, D.C., but rather than doing it always as a family unit, I for various reasons preferred to do it one-on-one or one with two.
And how about your hobbies?
Like my father, I'm a thwarted golfer. Nothing I'd rather be than a good golfer. But I find it very relaxing and do enjoy it.
And do you collect anything?
In recent years, I started to collect first day covers. The stamp field is too broad, so it's someone exposed me to cover collecting. My particular emphasis was on covers that are postmarked on the day a president is inaugurated. They're called inauguration covers. And the earliest one I have is Theodore Roosevelt. In later years, these things became much more sophisticated, and in addition to having the postmark and the city on the envelope, you have elaborate cachets or pictures commemorating the event. It's very commercial. The way you acquire these covers in the field that I'm interested in, you have to watch for them and bid on them at auction. And when I get something, I feel badly because then I feel I've overpaid, and when I don't get it, I'm satisfied that I was bidding correctly.
Can you tell us any difference you notice in the neighborhoods that you live in now, economically, culturally, politically, from the time you were younger?
Not really. I feel that I grew up in what was a middle-class community, moved to Murdoch Farms, which is also in part we live in a middle-class community, and my present home isn't very far from Fair Oak Street.
Are you interested in any community organizations?
Well, in many ways, my community interests parallel those of my father. At his, not prodding, but direction, I started working in 1937 for the Iron Kaufman Settlement. They had a system of a junior board in those days, and the junior board had its own assignments. Ultimately, though the concept seemed good, it got phased out, and they just tried to reduce the average age of the board members. Well, I ultimately became the president of the Iron Kaufman Settlement. My father had been president before me. And I worked on the merger of the Iron Kaufman Settlement and the YM and WHA from the 50s until it was finally consummated in the 60s. The only place that I can really say I surpassed my father is I ultimately became the president of the merged agency, YIKC. My field of interest is really in casework. Not in casework, excuse me, is in group work. I've had any experience in that area. Was, of course, working with the YIKC and group work agencies as contrasted to casework agencies. Served on the board of the National Jewish Welfare Board, and committee work that I did was always group work oriented. I was on the advisory board of the University of Pittsburgh School of Social Work. Also, anything I ever did had a group work slant, because admittedly I don't know anything about casework. Casework problems. I even consider the Pittsburgh Blind Association to be more hybrid. It's not purely a casework agency, though it does have caseworkers who do an effective job.
I think it leans more towards the casework. I mean, it's not an even division, is it?
No, it's certainly not an even division, but a glaucoma screening is not a casework problem per se.
But it's followed up by casework.
All of the things are. And even the homemaking service now, couldn't even call that group work. Mm-hmm. But to get back to the group work, I was, as was my father, the chairman of the group work division of the Health and Welfare Federation. Mm-hmm. A Lawyers like to get broad exposure and seem to have interest in many things, so that it's not unusual for lawyers to serve on diverse kinds of boards. I've been on the board of Travelers Aid, and Travelers Aid, of course, was a pure casework problem, and I never felt I contributed very much to their board, though I served for any number of years. I was a director and ultimately treasurer of the Winchester Thurston at the time when they were building the new building on Warwood Avenue. Just had the pleasure of receiving the announcement that they'd burned the mortgage on that building, which was something that we couldn't do at the time, but our successor showed they could do a better job than we did. But that new building that they have is really a personal monument to a man by the name of Bill Getty, William Getty, who was ex-president of the Jones Lock and Steel Company. His life, blood, sweat, and tears went into getting the money really to build that building. It's not to minimize what his successors did.
Can you think of any other?
Yeah, I told you that one of my hobbies is playing golf. I subsequently became, or in the course of growing up, became the president of Westmoreland Country Club and was probably the least qualified golfer to be president of the club. Though I like to think that Jerry Lieber, who was one of my successors as president, his golf isn't that much better than mine. We gave him good deficits and high golf scores. You know, you can sit here and rattle off a lot of other things.
I was interested
in Concordia Club and served as a director of Concordia Club. These club directorships were also something that my father held and did, and seemed a rather natural thing for me to do.
Going back to hobbies, didn't you have wasn't one of your hobbies pipe collecting?
I hate to dignify that with designation of hobby. Most people think it's Michigas.
Somebody mentioned it as a hobby.
I probably have 200 pipes, but a great many of them were given to me by a client and a friend, John Cone, Big John Cone. As a matter of fact, he gave me a pipe rack that he had made that holds 220 pipes. And though I had it modernized, my wife always regarded it as a monstrosity, and when I could no longer find a place for it in the office and brought it home, it was relegated to the back hall rather than a place of prominence. But obviously no one needs 100 pipes or 50 pipes, but an avid pipe smoker does not smoke a hot pipe, so that you go through course of the day quite a few pipes. It's fun. I enjoy buying pipes.
Even with almost 200 pipes, you still buy pipes?
Yes. I probably smoke 50 pipes between those that I have in the office and those that I keep 48, I guess, in two pipe racks at home. Or 24 and two pipe racks at home, and another 12 here in the office, and they're the ones that I really smoke.
Can you tell us anything further about your relationships with your colleagues here in the office? Anything else?
Well, having told you at the start of today that I'm now 61, I guess I'm regarded as one of the old men of the office. On certain days I feel old, and other days I don't feel I deserve that position. But the development of this new law firm, or our merged law firm, has been challenging and also rewarding, because though we do lots of things, it would not be the only book on how to organize. We must do something right, because we have materially expanded and are continuing to try and track to the firm the necessary skills that you need for a full-service law department.
Let's talk a little bit more about your children. Can you contrast the way you were raised with the way they were raised?
I never had the patience with my children that my parents had with me. I was prone at times to take off a moccasin. I had one on and use it on one of my boys when I thought it was needed. And I don't really remember my father going to those extremes. I admit to all and sundry that I don't have the patience that he had. But I don't think we were any more permissive, or that I am any more permissive with my children than they were. I really subscribe to the idea that if you set the right example for the children, they're either going to be smart enough to follow it, or they'll have to learn the hard way. I'm not saying that what I would set for an example would always be right, but at least you could open up their eyes to the fact that there's more than one way to accomplish any given goal.
As far as religious observances go, I know you said you were a high holiday Jew. You do belong to...
Obviously, I belong and I have always belonged to the temple, and I feel that any person who is a member of the Jewish faith has a real obligation to the faith.
And you mean Rosh Hashanah Temple?
Rosh Hashanah. In which I was confirmed, all my children were confirmed. And I would say that in my home we have had more observance of religious holidays than we did in my parents' home. And that's really because my wives, respectively, were trained and educated that way. It was the natural thing for them to do.
Have you ever held offices in the temple?
No. Stone's temple affiliations. I bowled a couple years on the temple men's club bowling team.
Well, can you contrast Pittsburgh today with Pittsburgh of your youth? You think there's been a change socially, culturally?
There's no question that Pittsburgh has become a much more dynamic city, and I attribute a great deal of it to Mayor David Lawrence. I think he represented the highest blending of politics with the ability to get the necessary backing of Pittsburgh power structure, and without him and the way that he was able to interrelate with the Mellons and the others in the power structure, I think Pittsburgh would have died on the bush. Now, of course, with all the problems of the steel industry, it's going to take someone else with Lawrence's foresight and ability to get things done to keep this area continuing to move. I've long felt that we owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to the man who I knew personally but not well.
How do you view Pittsburgh's Jewish life and its place in the general community now?
The interesting thing to me is, having been along to private clubs all my life, that they have far less importance to the younger people, and what the role of city clubs and country clubs may be in the future, unless there's some swing again in the mores of the younger people, is open to question. And it's not related just to Pittsburgh, it's related across the country. But I've always felt very secure as a member of the Jewish community of Pittsburgh. I never felt threatened by the blacks, threatened by the non-Jews. And I wouldn't say in that regard that I must be typical of my generation of second generation American born. We don't have the apprehensions of those who came over to this country at a later time. That's not to say that you can expect to go through life without being a victim of anti-Semitism in one way, shape, or another. We've all had that. But I think the biggest problem I had in the Navy was not with the non-Jew, was with another Jewish officer.
Mm-hmm.
He hated my guts and I hated his.